All right, today is Friday, September the 26th, 2025, and it is time to do another exciting edition of the Fish and Frank's Place-by-Place Fishing Report featuring Mr. Robert Lukowitz, which is the man you just heard breathing in because he requires a large amount of oxygen intake, and of course myself, Captain Josh Olive, mostly sitting here to do the typing, but I'll contribute where it seems appropriate. Robert?
Yes, sir.
How you feeling this morning?
Not too bad.
No? Okay. You excited to do the fishing report?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be better than it was last week?
Not much.
Well, we'll do what we can. Adjust your mic there, buddy. You sound a little thin.
Is that better?
There we go. Now I can hear you. All right. So, the last few weeks, we've had some pretty slow reports for the upper part of Charlotte Harbor, and that has kind of been a drag at the beginning of the show. Is that going to continue this week?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just wanted people to be prepared for it, just so that they know that that's what's coming.
We've got another month of that.
And the reports will get better as we get a little bit further down the harbor. So, just be ready for a few not much goings on at the beginning of this report. Robert?
It's September.
I know it's September. It's almost
normal.
October.
It's normal. We got another 4 to 5 weeks. About another 4 weeks, you'll start to see it slowly get better.
But it's autumn.
Uh-huh. Somewhere.
but fall started, didn't it?
I guess. Not yet.
Don't really notice when fall starts here in Southwest Florida. It's not really a thing.
No.
But yeah, it's been autumn for half a week.
Mm. Okay.
So
The only fall that we have, you know, they get the changing of the leaves up north. We get the changing of the license plates.
Yep.
That's what we get.
And, of course, the smell of pumpkin spice infesting all sorts of places where it doesn't belong. All right.
You think?
This report, as always, begins with the Peace River, Harbor Heights, and Upriver, along with Shell Creek. Robert, what exciting news do we have out of this location?
Very quiet. Got nothing.
Nothing. People fishing?
No.
Nobody even fishing?
Not really.
Okay. Well, then we'll just move on. Hey, I told you guys it was going to be slow up here in the Upper Harbor. I-75 bridges area?
A little bit.
A little bit.
Some Mayan cichlids, a couple of juvenile tarpon, and a couple of small snook.
Okay. Hey, that's way better than we had last week.
Yeah. Well, just that time of year.
Now, here in this semi-fresh water, which it normally is this time of year, what would you be using as bait? Would you still be taking shrimp up here? Would you be throwing artificials that look like shrimp? Or are you focusing more on something that looks like a fish?
I mean, I'm still going to take shrimp no matter what, because everything eats it.
Okay.
And then, even though I anticipate it not living very long, but it's a double-edged sword. You can take freshwater shiners with you, too, and they'll live for a little bit, but they die quickly, too. So, but shrimp are a little cheaper, and I can still use them dead very readily, versus the shiners don't work quite as well when they're dead.
Right.
Unless I want to catch a gar.
Well, yeah, and those are always up there.
Yeah, you know, and then artificial-wise, this is the time of year where your best artificial is, you know, paddle tails.
Because yeah, that little soft plastic, it imitates something alive.
Mm-hmm.
You can make it look like a shrimp. You can crawl it across the bottom like a crab. You can swim it like a bait fish. But you start to see why some of these fish don't hang out in these brackish areas. Because, well, there aren't as many shrimp there because shrimp would prefer saltier water. There aren't as many bait fish there because the bait fish either prefer saltier water or fresher water. Yes, there's things like mohara and small mangrove snapper that will tolerate that brackish water and, in fact, prefer to live in that. But if you're a predatory fish, you want to be places where there's lots and lots of food to eat, and your choices for what's for supper are more limited here in these brackish areas.
So, plus, the water's hotter. There's less oxygen.
Yep.
So they're just not comfortable in any way. They're starving to death and having a hard time breathing, so why would you stick around in those areas?
Right. And it's always going to support some fish. No question about that. But will it support the numbers of fish? And we as anglers, obviously always looking for numbers of fish, right?
Uh-huh.
Sure makes it a lot more fun to fish where the fish are.
Yeah.
In any event, sliding on 41 Bridges area.
Quiet. People are seeing some tarpon around there. But not a lot of people have been fishing it.
Okie doke. Do I even dare ask about the Lashley seawall?
A guy actually caught a couple mangrove snapper and a baby bull shark off there the other day.
Look at that. That's why I asked.
One report. Oh, I take that back. He did catch a little trout, too. Which kind of surprised me. Kind
of. I mean, it's not shocking. There used to be a lot of trout up there. I could see where they'd be cruising around looking for places to be.
Mm-hmm.
And a baby bull shark. Should be lots of baby bull sharks up there.
Yeah, it's got. I mean, there should be, but I don't know if people just aren't fishing for them or they just aren't cooperating as well as they were a month and a half ago.
Only one way to find out.
Yeah.
Spring Lake Park.
Spring Lake Park. Some snook at night. Little snook. A couple of black drum. And then people seeing juvenile tarpon.
But not hooked.
No.
Now, if you see a small tarpon up there, what are you going to throw at it to maximize your chance of hooking it?
The smallest damn lure I've got. Literally, like a 2-inch lure, like something you would use for like crappie almost.
Okay. So after you cast that and it goes 12 feet, what are you going to do to get it to go farther?
That's it.
You're just going to cast it 12 feet? That's it? That's all we're going to do?
That's it.
Casting bubble?
You could.
Fill it up with water?
You could.
Make it neutrally buoyant?
Sure.
Do that.
You could use some of those. They've been making some crappie jigs, like a, almost like a little bucktail,
mm-hmm.
that are like half ounce.
Okay.
Those will work.
JYG's
making one that's pretty nice. It's got a pretty solid hook in it.
What if you hung it underneath a weighted float?
You could try that, too. It's still juvenile tarpon. I'm not going to make myself crazy with those things.
Well, some people do,
not crazier,
though.
I should say.
Some people do. Because the thing is, especially if you're fishing these areas, right? If you're already going to these spots and you're finding yourself where we're catching some little mangrove snapper and maybe some small snook, but you're seeing those little tarpon out there.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you're seeing them constantly, over and over again. They're always hanging out down there.
Right.
So driving yourself crazy trying to catch them might not be a bad idea if it's a place you're already going to. I wouldn't recommend that people go there and try just to catch the juvenile tarpon, because you're right, you can make yourself slightly insane. But if you're already in those spots, if you already have those tarpon in your backyard, you want to maximize your chances at them, then yeah, pull out some tricks. But you're right, they do want to target those smaller things, and sometimes it's a real challenge to get that little thing out there. So any trick that you have at your disposal to make it happen without putting a super big heavy weight on it so it just sinks right down to the bottom where they can't find it, you know, would be a good thing.
Yeah.
And those are tricks that we've used before. Casting bubbles filled with water gives you extra casting distance without really affecting the weight of the lure in the water very much. And
right.
Using a big float, big weighted popping cork, you don't need to pop it, just it helps you with getting that light thing out there, kind of like it helps you with throwing a light live shrimp to have that weighted popping cork out there. Same thing with these artificial lures.
Yeah. No, that works. I'm just, if they're there as I'm passing through, I will give it a shot, but I'm not going to. I mean, I see little guys roll behind the house pretty regularly, and there better be more than just one or two there for me to even think about walking back up to the house to grab a fishing pole to cast at them.
Yeah.
Well, they are by far the most frustrating fish to target.
They are. But look at you. You're so spoiled.
I am. I also know better. You do it a half a dozen times. It's like, yeah, okay. Hey, Doc, it hurts when I do that. Then don't do that.
Uh-huh.
It's basically all it boils down to.
I'm more like the half a thousand times. Mm-hmm. So.
Not saying I'm not going to stop and try for them, but I'm not going to dedicate a day to it.
But if you did dedicate days to it, you
I'd take up fly fishing.
But if you, okay, and if you took up fly fishing, you know that there would be days where you'd come back with nothing, and then the next day there'd be nothing, and the next day there'd be nothing, and the next day there'd be nothing, but there'd come a day where you'd catch six or eight of those things, one right after the other, and it would just be the best day.
Mm-hmm.
You have to suffer in order to experience the joy, Robert.
Well, okay. I'm good.
All right, well, let's talk about the remainder of the salt and brackish Port Charlotte canals.
Been pretty quiet in there. They're getting a lot of sand bream off their docks. And it's amazing how many people don't realize, number one, what they are, but number two, the edibility of them.
So good.
But the other cool part is a lot of people let them go because they don't know what they are. Because, you know, in the past, there were so many people that would keep a fish. Well, I didn't know what it was. Yeah, well, it was only a 18-inch cobia. You should not have kept that.
Yeah.
You know. So people are getting a little bit, seem to be getting a little wiser about letting fish go that they are not sure of the species.
Yep. Sand bream are silvery, maybe with some kind of indistinct dark stripes going down the body.
They look like a little white bass.
Or a crappie, maybe. They're
a striped crappie.
Yeah, they're thin side to side. They're kind of boxy in their outline. They have a very prominent anal fin that sticks down far. They do have fin spines. And they have a really weird mouth. A long, almost tubular mouth if you extend it out. So, not likely to be mistaken for anything else, just maybe a fish that you haven't seen before.
Right.
All right, the Elgebeen Bridge is heavily patrolled, so I'm guessing we're going to have no reports there?
Yep.
Okay. So, no reports going on there. The Myakka River area from the bridge down to marker 8.
And by the way, he skipped over several other places that are land-based because they're gone and the county's still not doing anything about it.
I apologize for not having mentioned the Bayshore Pier and the Port Charlotte Beach Pier as I usually do. You are correct. They are closed. The county doesn't care.
The county doesn't care about anything except for filling their own pockets and building homes because it fills their own pockets.
The Myakka River area from the bridge down to Marker 8.
There's been some juvenile tarpon around the Elgebeen Bridge. Early in the morning. Nobody's hooking them that I've heard of, but they're seeing plenty of them. And then there's been some spatterings of ladyfish and Spanish mackerel all the way down to the mouth.
Okay. You know, just once, I'd like to be able to type the word Spanish without my fingers messing it up and having to go back and fix it.
Are you trying to type it in Spanish? Is that what the problem is?
No. No, I'm not. I type so panish. I type it with a lowercase s, even though I try to capitalize the s. I end up capitalizing the p instead. I don't know.
Hmm. Keeps you on your toes.
I guess. Yeah, the other word I can't type is Christmas.
Okay.
I always type Churstmas. It's like, what the heck? Okie doke. The South Gulf Cove canals.
I got nothing for you in there.
No reports. Well, the guy who was just in here, who lives in South Gulf Cove and was asking me what he can catch in those canals, was telling me that his neighbor's been catching a whole bunch of Mayan cichlids right there at his dock. So, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that there might be some Mayan cichlids around the docks.
Yeah, they're definitely always in there.
Yeah.
I just didn't get anyone to tell me anything about in there.
Yep. All right. Moving it on, the West Wall. Things should start to get a little bit better report-wise from this point going forward since we're getting into the lower part of the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yeah, but it switched up a little bit.
Okay.
A couple of reports I've gotten, there's redfish over there under the bushes, but most of them are small. Like, a lot of them are undersized.
Okay.
And then a lot of small snook. And then on top of the bar and on the outside of the bar has been some schools of ladyfish, Spanish mackerel, a couple of sharks mixed in with them, and some adult-sized tarpon mixed in with them.
Okay. Yep.
The sharks have been assorted sizes from little sharp nose to 6-foot bull sharks. So you just never know what you're going to hook into there.
Which is always fun. Always fun.
Yeah, definitely.
That time I typed spinaya mackerel.
Perfect.
Yep. Anything else here?
Nope.
All right. Then the Cape Hayes Bar.
I got nothing there.
All right. How about turtle and bull bays?
Lots of redfish in there. There's a school of redfish that have been hanging out on the bar, as usual. But they get beat up pretty hard, so they don't cooperate very well unless you're the very first person there in the morning. Or you wait until late in the afternoon to hang out there. And then there's a lot of redfish up underneath the bushes, along with some snook. Mostly what the redfish are feeding on is pinfish. If you can go out there and catch yourself some pinfish, you should do pretty darn good on the reds.
Okay, and how are you going to hook your pinfish?
I'm going to probably hook them through the nose.
You weight them, put them on a float?
Sometimes I will. I mean, I'm going to experiment a little bit. You know, this time of year, I can do what they call a redfish Sunday, where you hook the jig head right through the side of the body of the pinfish, so he's fighting the weight of that jig head and creating a lot of action.
Mm-hmm.
I may put him under a bobber. You know, I may just freeline him. It depends, but more than likely, I'm going to probably put him on a jig head. Whether it's through his nose or through the side of his body, just to slow him down a little bit. And some guys, even like Carl, really likes to clip their tail with a pair of scissors and way slow them down.
Slows them down, all right.
But it's funny, they're eating pinfish and they're eating cut pinfish. So if you get bigger pinfish, you can cut it into chunks, they're working. Cut mullet and cut ladyfish are working, but the cut pinfish are working better than the other two.
Okay. I hear you not mentioning shrimp or whitebait.
Shrimp's fine. I'll use shrimp too. I'm not going to use whitebait. Whitebait, there's so many little snapper out there right now and little pinfish. Your whitebait's getting destroyed. And whitebait's never been a great bait for redfish. Not if you want consistency.
But Robert, I thought whitebait was the magic bait that catches everything.
Whitebait works for everything, absolutely.
You can't catch anything in Charlotte Harbor unless you have whitebait.
Uh-huh, yeah, sure. Go burn 10 gallons of gas to go chase whitebait just to bring back up in the Upper Harbor and watch it die.
I bet you'd have better luck with dead whitebait with these redfish.
Definitely.
Stick 6 of them on a hook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could do that. But no.
Sounds like a waste of whitebait to me.
I'm not going
to
make myself crazy with whitebait. You know, if I want a numbers game, no problem. Whitebait's good. But no.
All right. So we've got redfish, snook, and some small mangrove snapper. What else you got in bull and turtle bays?
A few small sharks, a lot of small trout. That's about it.
Okie dokie. Cape Hayes and Danger Reefs.
Both those spots have been very quiet, but the area around it has had some occasional schools of ladyfish and Spanish mack, along with some tarpon. But the reefs themselves have been super quiet. And it's funny, as much as people have fished there over the years, they're like, well, I can't find it. It's like, you've got it marked on your fish finder. Just because the buoys and channel marker is gone.
Yeah.
How do you not... You fished it 100 different times. How do you not know?
Well, but the thing is, if you're new here, especially, people are going to wonder what the heck we're talking about, Cape Hayes Reef and Danger Reef. Since
no, and I get that, but those people would never know that there was marked.
Right.
But the people that know it's marked are the ones that are complaining about it, not being able to figure it out. It's like, how do you find a spot? How do you find Novak Reef?
Right.
You know, it's like...
You go out there and look for the buoy on that one?
Yeah. Oh, no, you look at the five boats sitting on it. There it is.
Those are the buoys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of funny, but no, a couple of guys have tried fishing it and have had very, very little success. Because this is the time of year when the snappers start to come in from offshore and will usually stack up on it a little bit more. But they ain't there.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Gasparilla Sound.
Okay. What do you want to talk about?
You know, what kind of fish are being caught there. That kind of general discussion.
Oh, okay.
Did you forget where we are?
Yeah,
Robert,
no,
are you
no,
having
we're
a minor right. episode?
Yeah. Let's a little bit. Just a little.
Wipe the drool off and tell me what's biting in Gasparilla Sound.
So on the 4 to 7 feet of water, basically on the outside edge of the channel, they're getting ladyfish, Spanish mackerel, some trout. And as you move up onto the flats, especially closer to the bushes, some redfish, some snook. Some guys have even gotten a couple of pretty good-sized trout up in that 2 feet of water, which is surprising. Because, I mean, the temperature has dropped, oh, almost 10 degrees on the flats out there.
It I was mean, 82 yeah. over there the other day.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been hearing from anywhere. Yours is the lowest one so far, but 83 to 87 degrees is what I've been hearing from most people, which is pretty significant drop in water temperature.
Yes.
Which we kind of need it. So.
Well, but it's been nice to have those cloudy overcast days that's allowed that to happen.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like we're into a little bit sunnier pattern again now, so that'll start creeping back up, but still, I don't think it's going to, well, I shouldn't say I don't think it's going to get back up to the temperatures that it was, because it's still summer, despite the fact that it's fall, but I think it's less likely that we're going to see it reaching back up into the upper 90s.
Right. Oh, I can see that.
Okay. Anything else out here?
Nope.
All right. Then that moves us on to Placida. The pier at Placida and Boca Grande, both of those piers closed due to hurricane damage. The Coral Creek pier is open, so we're talking about what's going on there, plus just around the Trestle and Gasparilla Pass in general.
Okay. Customer caught a 37-inch snook off the Coral Creek pier the other day.
Oh, very nice. I thought there were no fish on that pier. That's what people have been complaining about.
It's a very slow pier. You know, it's... Most of those fish right now that are coming through are going to be sand brim, small mangrove snapper, but you've also got your snook that are going to be slowly trickling in there because that's one of their wintertime haunts.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he caught that on dead mullet sitting on the bottom, and it sat there for an hour because he watched a couple snook swim by and said, well, I'm going to try this, and threw it out there, and it sat for an hour, and he caught that.
Yep.
Which I asked him about the catfish, and he said, surprisingly enough, no catfish mess with it.
Hmm.
So.
And if they do mess with it.
That tells you the kind of quality of the pier that it is. When the catfish aren't bothering you that much. You know, it's not exactly a dealer's choice.
Yeah, no, I get you. I mean, I've had some good days at the Coral Creek Pier.
So have I.
But
I've had a lot more bad ones. That's like the last stop, you know. Hey, let's swap over here for a minute. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Make a couple casts. Yep, same as I remember it a year ago. On to the next spot. You know, I mean, that's usually how it works there.
Yeah, no, I get you.
And then right there around the Placida Trestle, they're getting some snook. A few more mangrove snapper are moving in there. A couple guys are seeing some sheep's head moving around, but they always do this time of year because the water is starting to change a little bit. Temperatures are changing, so I think the sheep's head were there. They just start to get hyper-focused. When are they going to get here? When are they going to get
right.
here?
Right, because it's fall.
Oh, there they are. I saw two of them today. The sheep's head are back.
It's fall, Robert.
You know, so. But they've also been getting a couple of pompano. Spanish mackerel. They have been seeing a few adult-sized tarpon right there around Little Gasparilla Pass. That's about it.
Okay. How about Lemon Bay?
Lemon Bay, there's a couple schools of redfish up there in the Miserable Mile.
Okay.
One of the Inglewood guys got into a school of them, and he figured there was probably anywhere from 50 to 100 fish on them. They were on the mainland side, just cruising the flats. They caught a couple fish. They've also been catching a few redfish under the docks, along with snook and some snapper. But Flipper's been a real booger, as usual.
Okay. Now, I heard a rumor. I haven't been out there to look. Let me see if I can find it online. That Stump Pass Beach State Park would reopen.
Yeah, I heard that rumor.
Let me see if I can verify it online.
The whole, what, eighth of a mile of
beach? Well, okay, but
beach.
But it gives you access to Milton Pass.
Right.
Which, you know, that's not the worst place that I could think of to maybe go try some fishing.
No, not at all. I hope they leave it the way it is.
Yeah.
I would like to see them shut that whole new island down from the boaters partying down in the sandbar down at the end and let the shorebirds and all the wildlife have its own little personal space.
And people will complain about that from here to the ends of the earth, and I totally get that, but look at it this way, okay? There's lots and lots of places where people can be and where you can run around and where you can have fun. But
especially if you're in a boat.
There's only so many places where these birds can nest. And, you know, you're looking at birds that traditionally would have nested on barrier islands because there's fewer predators there. And these are ground nesting birds that need to be able to raise their young without as many predators running around. And this is a perfect spot for them to do it. So you could say, well, they could go to Cayo Costa. Okay, well, now you got to shut off people from going to Cayo Costa. I think it would be way easier to shut off people from going to this small island and say, look, this is wildlife habitat. This is off limits to you, and it's off limits to your dogs, which are causing more of the problem than the people are, honestly.
Definitely.
But, you know, I've seen it out there. I've seen people walking around out there and have no idea that they're just about to walk on a tern nest because...
Or a baby tern that's already hatched.
Yeah, because they're well camouflaged. It's just a little scrape in the sand. If you look at those baby terns, you never know that they were there until you see mama come down to feed them. And then it's like, oh, okay. You see that little ball of sand over there that was blending in perfectly with all the rest of the sand? Now I can see that it's actually a baby bird. So, yeah, I think that would be great to keep the island closed down to the general public.
It would be.
What it says on the website here is effective September 12th. The pavilion at Stump Pass Beach State Park is currently unavailable. It doesn't mention anything about anything else being closed. So I'm thinking maybe the rumor is accurate that the park is now open. You should drive down there and take a look.
You should.
I should have already, but I didn't hear the rumor until I didn't have time to go. So it's my fault for not making time.
Right. It's all your fault, Josh.
It is my fault. All right, so we've got redfish in the Miserable Mile. We've got reds under docks alongside some snook and mangrove snapper. Anything else going on in Lemon Bay?
Nope.
Alrighty then, let's move on to the next spot, which is the Anger Pier. Oh, wait, no, there is no Anger Pier. Charlotte County doesn't care. The Gulf of Mexico, bottom fishing and trolling. What's going on out there?
There's Spanish mackerel off the beaches. There has been a couple, and I mean just a couple because we're still a little early, kings being reported from 5 miles out to 20 miles out. Hearing better reports up towards Tampa. So they're on their way, they just are not here yet in their full numbers. And then you've got, the bottom fishing wise in about 60 to 70 feet of water, mangrove snapper, lane snapper, and some yellowtails. And then in 100 or so feet of water, I had a couple reports of some legal red grouper. No giant ones, but like 22, 23 inches.
Okay.
And then out there in 140 to 160 feet of water, that's where they're getting some of the bigger red grouper. Guy was going to go out red snapper fishing this weekend because that's still open for recreational, right?
On the weekends, yes.
On the weekends, yes.
Friday, so, Saturday, Sunday.
He got some beeliners last weekend also out there. No big ones. And a guy did catch a tuna with a free line bait out the back of the boat when he was out there fishing for red grouper in 110 feet of water.
Okay.
And that's about all I got.
And they closed Amberjack.
Yeah.
Yeah, we verify that.
For a short window of 5 minutes, like gag grouper?
Yeah. It's supposed to be open September 1st through October 31st, but let me find the official notification here. They are, yeah, closed as of midnight tonight.
Perfect.
So beginning September 27th, there is no more amberjack harvest in the Gulf. And the reason why is because last year's recreational landing data indicates 882,451 pounds were harvested. The catch limit is 404,000 pounds. So since
then, why do they open it if we already doubled it, theoretically?
Yeah.
The Gulf Fisheries Council is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're almost as shot out as Charlotte County commissioners.
Yeah. Yeah, they really are. Because it says here that as a result of the overage, the 2025-2026 annual catch limit is reduced to 0 pounds.
Then why did they open it?
I don't know.
That makes absolutely no sense.
Nope, I don't know.
None.
So that's going to affect next year now, because we already harvested some fish.
They'll probably still open it for like 2 days. You got Labor Day weekend. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, that's where we're at. So let's just make a note here. The Amberjack are now closed.
Hey, Gulf Fisheries Council, maybe you and Charlotte County Commissioner should get together and go bowling.
Yeah. Talk about the quality of governance and
yeah,
how good you are at responding to the needs of your constituency.
Yeah, exactly.
Jackpots. Mm-hmm. The Venice jetties and the Venice pier.
They're getting some Spanish mackerel off the pier. That's all I've heard of.
I typed Spanish correctly.
Perfect. They're getting them off the jetty. Some whiting. Let's see. They have been getting a few snook there at night. And the occasional pompano and whiting.
Okay. Occasional pompano.
Mm-hmm.
That probably means that there's 60 people lined up all throwing silly jigs.
Mm-hmm.
Is what probably the occasional pompano means.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. Punarasa.
Got nothing.
Redfish pass.
Redfish.
Okay.
Redfish and some snook. And even a few trout in the immediate area around Redfish Pass.
Okay. Captiva Pass.
That I haven't gotten a report from this week.
No reports.
I mean, there should be fish there, but I've not gotten any feedback there.
Well, the last report that we had in here from last week said that there were snook, redfish, and trout in the area of the pass.
Yeah, so I would imagine that probably hasn't changed. I just did not get any reports in there.
Yep.
I actually should be getting one today because Danny Latham is going out today, and I was talking to him yesterday.
And just as a reminder, that's the tough thing about doing these reports is that somebody actually has to talk to Robert and tell him what's been going on in these areas in order for him to have these reports. These are not based on what we expect to happen there. These are not
Maybe
based
don't
on...
Maybe hold up a blank envelope to our forehead and guess. Yeah,
it's not Karnak the Great over here. This is actual reports from actual people actually out there fishing. So, Boca Grand Pass.
Boca Grand Pass. Let's see. A few pompano.
Where would you look for pompano in that pass?
Well, the ones that I got my report from were land-based guys fishing right there off the rocks.
Okay.
And then there's been some snook being seen cruising the beach there. Because my family's been in town, so they've been out there a lot messing around and talking to people and seeing people fishing. And then another customer who comes in regularly, he was giving me the fishing report. He also caught a couple of pompano at the broken down pier right there behind South Beach Restaurant.
Okay.
Some bonnethead sharks. A couple of Spanish mackerel. And then, of course, a couple of guys complaining that they are no longer allowed to fish out there at night.
I can't go shark fishing. I can't do this at night out there.
Okay.
Tough. That's the way it works.
All right. Anything going on in, like, the main body of the pass?
Not really. I mean, there should be. I mean, if I were to guess, because you ask me to regularly,
well, and
the Spanish mackerel are definitely should be in there.
When we guess, we're clear that we're guessing.
So should be the mangrove snapper. And it wouldn't surprise me if there's some tarpon in there with that water temperature starting to drop. Those fish are going to start to leave the harbor a little bit and start to hang out there, getting ready to make their exodus south. So, yeah, that should be definitely going on out there. I just haven't had any reports. Danny Latham's father and friend were going out there last week, and I never heard from them to see how they did.
Okay. Well, now that we've talked about the beach fishing at Boca Grand Pass, let's talk about the beach fishing.
Okay.
Everywhere else.
Basically, the one and only other good report I've had beach fishing-wise has been at Blind Pass Park. And on both sides, for that matter.
Okay.
One person's been fishing some of those little finger docks right behind there and poking through the mangroves and kind of wade fishing. A couple of redfish, a couple of trout, a couple of small snook. And then one of our regulars, she's been fishing out there too with her and her husband, and they've been fishing on the beach side mostly and getting some snook, a couple of Spanish mackerel, a couple of redfish, whiting. She hooked what she was pretty sure was a king mackerel. If not, it was the biggest Spanish mackerel she said she'd ever seen, because she said it was probably 3 feet. And she hooks fish. She knows what they look like, but she swears it was a king, which is possible.
That's more possible than a 3-foot Spanish.
Yeah. She's been seeing some tarpon cruising the beach and some jacks cruising the beach, but has not hooked either one of those this past week. But she gets out there right at sunrise and stays until 9, 10. Depends on how many people pull up to the beach and crowd her out,
right?
Because she does not like crowds. She gets very, very frustrated because people come walking over to her, and it's like, I stayed as far away from you guys as possible, and you come over and put your blanket down next to me. I'm fishing. Go away.
All right, let's talk about Matt Lachey, Indian Field, Smokehouse Bay, and associated areas.
The main thing I've gotten reports on is right down there in Smokehouse Bay area has been some trout. some small tarpon being seen. and a lot of snook with the occasional redfish. Mm. And a lot of small snook at that.
Okay.
I have not gotten any reports around Matt Lachey or on the other side of Matt Lachey.
All right. Pine Island Sound, to include Rat and Cat Keys, Mondongo Patricio, and similar such places.
Let's see, some trout out in the deeper water in that 4 to 6 feet of water, along with some Spanish mackerel. And some redfish up underneath the bushes with some small snook. A few people are seeing some bigger snook cruising, but haven't heard of anyone hooking any.
Okay. Jug Creek Shoal and Boquilla.
Got nothing there.
Burnt Store and Two Pines.
There's a school of redfish there on the bar, on the inside of the bar there, from Burnt Store to Two Pines, depending on where they're at that particular moment. There's also been quite a few smaller redfish and snook up underneath the bushes along the shoreline there. And then on top of the bar, ladyfish, a couple pompano, a couple Spanish mackerel, and the occasional tarpon, like adult-sized tarpon. Depends on how the ladyfish are, because the ladyfish have been sporadic there, but fairly consistent.
Okay. I can dig. The East Side Keys and Pirate Harbor.
I have almost no reports from there. I got one. He got some trout and a few redfish just to the north of Pirate Harbor, but pretty much in the vicinity of Pirate Harbor. Fish in the flats, some of the deeper potholes, and some of the bushes. And he caught all his on artificials. He was throwing Little Johns and the marsh minnows, basically soft plastics.
Okay. Marsh minnow.
Just two favorite go-to baits.
It's a good little bait.
Yeah.
Alligator's Cut. I'm sorry. Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, and the skating rink.
I got nothing through there. People have been trying, but nothing.
Okay, so people are fishing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, several customers come out of Burnt Store Meadows and Isles there are trying to troll and not even picking up nothing that way, which is a little unusual.
No bueno. Ponce de Leon Park.
Little tiny snapper and little tiny guys poaching them.
Okay.
The Cayman Fish needs to go over there and sit.
The PGI Canals and Punta Gorda General Area.
Some sand bream, small mangrove snapper, a couple of spadefish, and a lot of small snook. A couple of people seeing black drum, but I don't know anyone who's been catching any.
Well, how about the Gilchrist Pier? Oh, wait, there is no Gilchrist Pier. Never mind. How about Alligator Creek Reef?
I got nothing from there. A couple guys have fished it and haven't gotten anything. They were seeing some tarpon at the beginning of the week over there, but they were very unsuccessful. I know the tarpon have been moving back and forth across there for the last couple of weeks, but Carl went through there, Richie went through there, Rick went through there. Rick saw the fish but could not get them to chew, so he went and looked for them elsewhere.
Okay. All right, that brings us to the 20-foot holes, or basically the open middle of the harbor.
On the outer edges of the 20-foot holes has been some ladyfish schools in like 15 to 10 feet of water with some Spanish mackerel mixed in with them. And, of course, the tarpon and a few sharks. And we only have a couple more weeks left of that, theoretically. So take advantage of it. If you want to try to catch a tarpon, you might have another month.
And, you know, some of that depends on how this happens to go with our cold fronts coming through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll stick around longer if it stays warmer.
Yes.
So we were headed out, and we were going through there, and we saw some birds that had gathered up pretty tightly. We're just a little bit north of the upper hole, but the birds were gathered up pretty good. And they were on the move, and I just explained to these guys how you get these pods of bait fish, and they're being attacked by the mackerel or the ladyfish, and they move pretty quickly. So sometimes you try to get into the area, and you get frustrated because the predatory fish have already moved by the time you get there. So I said, what we'll do is we'll just kind of troll around the general area. And we did. We experimented with a couple different baits. They did not want anything with any kind of size to it. They were okay with a 3-inch soft plastic. They did not want a 4-inch lipped plug. But what they really wanted was little itty-bitty 2-inch spoons.
Yep.
Which made perfect sense, because the first Spanish mackerel that we brought on board, as soon as we had him on the boat, he started coughing up little itty-bitty 2-inch baitfish.
Yeah.
So
a lot of little fry out there.
Match that hatch. If you're throwing something that's too big because you're like, well, I got mackerel and I got ladyfish, but I've also got tarpon, and I want to try something that'll catch all of those, so I'm going to kind of hedge my bets and go with a 6-inch bucktail or something like that. Yeah, forget about it. I mean, that's not what they're there to do. They're there to eat the little stuff or the big stuff, depending on what the fish is. So you kind of hedging your bets by throwing that 6-inch bait, you might just be sizing yourself completely out of being able to catch anything.
Right.
So I'd much rather throw something that either matches the little bait fish hatch, which those tarpon are there to eat it, no question about that. I mean, catching a tarpon on a trolled 2-inch spoon would be weird, but I guess it would be possible.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're really there eating those ladyfish and mackerel. I'd throw something bigger.
Sometimes they're slurping up all that little bait.
Yep. If somebody could just
it's like
come
a big
up,
whale, they just come to there and open their mouth.
What you need is a rig that has like 30 of those little 2-inch spoons on it.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
It'd be perfect.
Don't they call that an umbrella rig?
Well, you can call it whatever you want. We're going to call it the Charlotte Harbor Tarpon Rig.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because we're going to make it a lot more dense than an umbrella rig. We need an actual school of bait fish.
Perfect.
It looks like they can just come up and slurp it.
Sounds like a whole lot of hooks to have to deal with.
It really does. So maybe we'll just put a couple of hooks in it, and most of them can just be teasers.
There you go.
Do you think you can get the lure company to send us a bunch of hooks without spoons?
Probably.
How about spoons without hooks?
It's easy.
It should work. This is going to be a fun rig to come up with.
Mm-hmm. It's all you.
It's going to retail for like $140, but...
it's all you.
You know, it's the tarpon special.
Well, hell, people are paying that for glide baits right now.
I'm going to need you to sell it, though. So... All right, let's talk about the baitfish reports. Tell me where them white bait are. Can't catch nothing without white bait, Robert.
Let's see, Jug Creek. And over around Devilfish. Pretty much the two main places where they're finding them. And most of it is a little bit smaller.
Bring me my quarter-inch net.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
All right. What about the threadies?
They're scattered, but not anything consistent.
And the pinfish.
Same place where the white bait's at, or any of your grass flats. I mean, they're getting them up inside Turtle and Bull Bay. They're getting them over there in the Placida area. Anywhere where there's grass.
Okay. Offshore bait reports?
Got nothing. Guys are seeing a couple schools here and there, but A guy went out there, one of the guys that went out there, he stopped. He usually stops in about 35 feet of water. He caught two squirrel fish and one pinfish in about 20 minutes. Mm. He ended up drifting, and that's still all he caught.
Well, that doesn't sound great.
Mm-mm.
Okay. The freshwater report. What was that noise?
That's been dismal this whole week.
I was hoping it would be better.
No, I've gotten no reports. Several guys have bought shiners. A few guys have bought some minnows. But the guy who buys his minnows every Friday, he said he got out there, he fished for about 15 minutes, tipped over his bucket, and said, okay, I'm just going home. So I got no report from him at all.
Wow.
I mean, the fishing should be getting better in the freshwater part of it because of the cool down. But haven't gotten anything.
Okay. I don't like that.
Mm-mm.
That brings us to the tarpon reports. Now, let's see. The tarpon map
is going to change
here. Oh, it's going to change? Oh, good.
Oh, yeah.
Then great. Then I don't need to talk about the previous tarpon map because we're just going to make another one.
Yes.
All right. Fantastic. I got my map right here. I got my red dot maker right here. My red dots are my best shot at a hookup. Where do I get to put a red dot, Robert?
Whore point.
Whorehouse point. Right on the point?
Pretty close to it.
All right. Ba-boom. Done.
Right at the corner of Hog Island.
The corner of Hog Island. Outside the flat?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What? I'm just making sure. Specificity is the name of the game here, my friend.
Well, make sure it's exactly in 6 feet of water, then.
6 feet of water, just outside the flat. Okay, that would be... Nope, a skeech. There we go.
No, that's all 7 feet.
No, that's... Well, it depends on the tide, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Where else could I put a red dot?
Go diagonally straight across marker 8 over to the west wall on the outside of the bar.
Yep, and put it right there.
Same dots going all the way across.
Well, it's not very far, but I'll put 3 dots just so people understand that there's a line of tarpon blocking you from
pretty
getting
much
out of the Myakka River.
And then going down the outside of the bar on the west wall.
Uh-huh.
About halfway down.
Ba-boom. Ba-boom. And ba-boom. Yep.
And that's it.
That's it
mm-hmm.
for my red dots.
Yep.
All right, switching over to my yellow dots, my 50-50s, my, hey, well... You know, it didn't work out in those spots. Let's go try these spots, because maybe they're there instead.
Around the vicinity of Alligator Creek Reef.
The vicinity of Alligator Creek Reef. Okay, I'm going to put 2 dots there. I'm hoping that they're roughly at the north and south markers. Yep.
The Pirate Harbor Hole.
The Pirate Harbor Hole. Let's see, Pirate Harbor. It's very conveniently not actually marked on this, which is a map and not a chart, but that's close enough. All right. Carry forth.
Down below Burnt Store on the outside of the bar.
Down below Burnt Store on the outside of the bar.
Between Burnt Store and Two Pines,
between
basically.
Between Burnt Store and Two Pines outside the bar. Also 6 feet of water or 7 feet?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Okay. 6.5.
Okay. That's about it.
Okay, that's my yellow dots. Moving on to my white dots, the less than 50% chance of a hookup. But you know what? We're already here, so we might as well try it. What do you got?
Boca.
Boca Grande. Where at?
In the pass itself.
In the pass, in between the two islands?
Mm-hmm.
All right, ba-boom. Yep.
Captiva Pass.
Captiva Pass. All right. Right in the pass itself?
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Ba-boom.
And that's about it.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
No Gasparilla Sound, no out off the beaches, none of that stuff.
There's
going
a good
on.
Chance. I mean, people have been seeing a few here and there, but not anything to jump up and down about.
Okay. Well, this is significantly different from the previous tarpon map.
Mm-hmm.
Best options for baits here. We talked a little bit about the slurping and the little baits and the bigger baits. Where does that leave us with bait busters?
Bait busters and ladyfish are still the key.
bait busters and ladyfish.
Or any other big swim bait. Some guys have their own favorite one.
Yeah. All right. That's a funny looking map.
It is.
All right. That's all right. I can live with it. Okay. That's good. Well, that's the end of the places that we have on this fishing report. Is there anything else that you'd like to discuss today? Any words of wisdom you'd like to share? Any other opportunities that we can talk about?
Nope.
Anything else going on?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Well, I will mention briefly that my fishing class at the Punta Gorda Isle Civic Association will be held beginning October 15th. That is six consecutive Wednesday nights. It is $65 for the full class, and signups are now open. If you are on the Fish and Frank's Fishing Club, I put a post up there. If you're coming into the store, there's going to be a little flyer hanging up where you can scan it with your phone, and you can get the right to the website. Otherwise, you can go to bit.ly/letsfish101525, and the L and the F in Let's Fish are both capitalized. It's as short a link as I can make it. So that's why I put the QR
code.
Could it be
a little bit more confusing?
It could be a lot more confusing.
Oh, I could say .gov next to it.
But see, that's why. Well, and if I get what could be more confusing is if I gave you the actual link to it, which is through the Punta Gorda Isle Civic Association.
Mm-hmm.
It's got slashes and dashes and all kinds of crazy symbols in it and numbers and letters and all kinds of stuff. It's next to impossible.
Couldn't just be fishcoachclass.com?
Well, you know, I'll work on simplifying it. How's that?
Just okay. Saying.
Your attitude today.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right.
I had a good teacher.
Yeah. I do like that you seem just slightly more awake today, though, than you were last week. So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
So a little more excited to exist. Last week I was starting to worry that Eeyore's tail might have fallen off and gotten lost, but nope. You're doing better. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, if that's all you have to say, then why don't you just say goodnight, Robert?
Goodnight, Robert.